Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom.
And I'm DV's Vacuum. Hello, everyone.
Hi, and on this episode of Flash in the Pan, we're going to be learning a lot of things. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Flash in the Pan.
Welcome back.
And here we have a very special, wonderful guest. It's everybody's favorite, Devious Vacuum.
Hi, it's me, DVAC from the internet.
Yes, you're from the internet. How did you end up on this podcast? You may be asking yourself. Well,
you got me.
I ask myself that question every single day.
But yeah, so we got DVAC on the show because she has been working with all sorts of online media for ages and ages and ages. And yeah, would you mind telling us about, like, I guess your Flash history?
Oh, my Flash history. Oh my goodness. Well, when I was, I guess the same age we all were, like, I guess like 11 or 12 in the early 2000s, maybe even younger than that, I'm not sure. The specific, like, 9 to 12 years old fever dream part of your life where, like, you don't really remember if anything was real.
Yeah.
We had a dial-up internet, and it was not good, and so I didn't ever, like, interact with, like, I didn't, like, download any illegal animes like a lot of folks in my circles have done, but I did watch a lot of Flash cartoons, me and my brother, especially on Albino Black Sheep, and then later on Newgrounds.
Yeah.
I don't remember how we found them. I don't, like, they just happened. Like, that was just a thing that we did in between playing, like, Neverwinter Nights and Baldur's Gate and Age of Wonders.
Wow, yeah, that's, you've really, like, dated a very specific moment in history there.
And we would sit at the computer and, like, we would play Hot Seat Multiplayer, and we would then, open up the internet and let it load for, like, 10 minutes, and then we would watch, you know, the videos.
Hot seat multiplayer just makes me think of, like, it was like one of my friends, I don't know, Peter or Charlie, if you're listening, please write into the show, because we haven't seen each other in like a decade.
But, oh, no.
But I remember, like, hot seat multiplayer playing Worms Armageddon.
Oh my god, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which was, that and Civilization. And we never managed to finish a game of Civilization.
Or
never. Yeah. But also that, like, those, like, scenario editors for those games.
Especially
for, like, Neverwinter Nights. That was, like, that was my introduction to programming. And that was, like, so then I was interested in, like, computer stuff and Flash animation. And I was still a little bit too young to really be able to do it. But I remember, like, that's what really made me want to, like, learn it. It was a thing people did. And I would make, like, choose your own adventure games in PowerPoint.
In PowerPoint!
I did that once. I did that.
That's really cool.
And they were all, like, of equal quality to some of these videos, right? Like, low random humor and explosions.
Do you remember any titles?
Oh, I remember. It was Bob's Adventure Parts 1, 2, and 3.
Oh,
and,
wow. Oh, you had continuity.
It was exactly like these kind of old Flash animations, which were just, like, a random character that might have even been, like, just a smiley face. And then, like, you would try to avoid different traps and, like, different, you know, random characters would appear and have a dialogue. And then if you chose wrong, then it would explode and you would have to start over. Like, just that moment in time.
What you're describing
is, like, 2001.
Yeah, what you're describing is, like, the exact experience of watching the Demented cartoon movie as we did a while ago.
Yeah.
Just randomness, and there's just a disembodied head, and then everything explodes. Because that's what humor is.
Yeah, exactly. I was just copying what I saw on the internet.
Yeah, and that led you down your career path, didn't it?
Kind of, yeah. At first, I got into computer science because I wanted to go into animation. And then while I was in undergrad, I got involved with robotics and human-robot interaction research. And then the rest is history.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. In real life, I'm basically a software developer, but for robots. And that's as much as I can say. Thanks. Don't dox me.
That's still super neat, though.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
So, in the furtherance of educating mm-hmm. the world, you have brought a selection of cartoons for us.
Yeah, so...
You have. Would you like to tell us a little bit about the first batch?
Yeah, so, when Tom was like, it's actually started with the second batch of ones we're going to watch, and I was like, I remember what this is now, I thought it wasn't real.
That's a great sign.
And then Tom was like, what is another one that you remember that we haven't already covered? Because another one that I remember really well is Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom, and you guys have already had that on the show. And so this professor, so the one I've brought is the Brad Neely series, Professor Brothers, which I actually didn't watch myself until much later. I didn't watch it as it came out. I watched it later when I was like in college, and it just always really resonated with me because I've always been a fucking academic.
As someone who is only recently an ex-academic, I am looking forward to seeing how much this gives me the feels.
We are recovering academics, is how I refer to it.
Yeah. That works. But yeah, of course. So in that case, so you've selected three for us today, and we'll have links to all three on the website, which is flashinthepancast.com, so you can watch along with us at home if you like. So yeah, without further ado, let us dive into the Professor Brothers.
True story. I was once like you, then I grew a brain, a dick, and a heart.
And we're back.
We sure are.
And the Professor Brothers is... it's fucking poetry is what it is.
It's pretty good.
That's just how it is. That I don't like, that's just academia. Sorry everyone if you were looking at getting into grad school.
just the everything is really perfectly observed. Like, the casualness of it, at the same time as there being incredibly high social stakes over fuck all.
Just like how everyone's just like a petty boy king who like hasn't aged past 22.
Yes! Yeah. So Alex, you hadn't seen any of that before.
I hadn't seen that, no.
Can we get your reactions as a neophyte, if you will?
Yeah, I mean... To me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this feels like a McElroy bit.
Is it proto McElroy?
This is from a pre McElroy world, but I can imagine it somehow influencing their style, because, at least a little.
I don't know if it's just because the guy doing most of the talking sounds a bit like Griffin.
Oh, he does. Griffin McElroy would never do those things.
To me, he sounds almost exactly like that guy who was in Freakazoid and Animaniacs
Oh my god, yeah.
Whose name I cannot remember, but it's that
exactly who you mean.
Listeners, if you know who that is, please write into the show, flashinthepancast@gmail.com, because we want to know who that person is.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry, you were saying.
No, yeah, it feels like a McElroy bit. It reminds me of people I've met, in the worst, insufferable, like up their own fucking ass, like.
in what kind of venues?
But just around, you sure. know, like you just sometimes you just meet people and you get to know people through friends. And you sit there and you're like, wow, I fucking hate this person. Because, like, unlike the two of you, I've never been to grad school.
Yeah.
I stopped at getting my bachelor's degree.
I don't blame you.
That was enough for me.
Yeah.
I didn't need any more. I jumped
arguably
out
enough
like,
for anyone.
Yeah. Because I've seen what master's degrees does to people.
Yeah, I'm next to you.
Yeah. And before that. So yeah, it's incredibly well written and well acted. Like, there's not much animation, but it's like it doesn't really need to be. There's enough like there's like enough like still shots basically in like aiding like what's being told to you. But I feel like even if you took the visuals away, this would still be pretty good.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think in terms of the animation style, what it reminds me most of, because it is for the most part just like a slideshow.
Yeah.
But it reminds me a lot of what you get on YouTube nowadays, where it'll be like a bit from My Brother and Me, or yeah, from Game Grumps or Vine Source or something that someone has animated minimally to go along with that monologue or that moment.
It is like that. Yeah. It's a lot like that. Wow. Yeah.
It is a proto McElroy.
Yeah, it conveys an awful lot of personality without really using that much in the way of actual animating chops.
Yeah, well, it helps that the voice actor is really good.
Yeah,
that helps a lot. But yeah, you're right. I think you're right.
Yeah. So
the visuals do kind of help some of it. It like. If you were just watching one at a time and you were like, I'm not sure if these are bad people, like the visuals, the context clues in the scene, like help you be like, oh, okay. Like they're both talking to each other and just the porn on their computers keeps escalating.
Yeah, like that was so
okay. It's not just porn. It's not just porn. Okay, not only is it pornography, but or like snippets of pornography, or like little like you know like the quarter of a window of pornography. But it escalates to pandas. There was a lion in there. But on the
I saw Iron Man.
Oh yeah, but on the other computer, it's Iron Man. There's Captain Marvel, and it's like
it really
it. Yeah, it's a really good it's a really good portrayal of the arrested development that you get in the academic environment.
Yeah, it just paints such a picture, right? Like, God. Oh, but you know, maybe we should put a content warning at the beginning of this that this is PhDs do not interact. This is an anti-academia podcast episode.
I can get behind that.
If you've got tenure, fuck off. Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's the episode title.
If you've got tenure, fuck off. Yeah.
Oh my god. But yeah, the way that they talk about the other members, this has to be drawn from some kind of personal experience or like somebody that he knew, because it just like the way that they refer to the other departments and stuff like that as like cool or not cool.
Yeah, the implication of like I bought everyone anything they wanted, even Derek. You know, that implies a mythology of Derek.
Yeah.
And then, like, oh, the string theory guys were there, and they thought I was cool, and, like, the hot girls from Quantum were there. And, like, God, like, I, like, mood, first of all, because I was in a computer science PhD program, so, like, I know that feeling of, like, oh, look, man, gotta impress the theoretical physicists when they come around.
See, I'm from the humanities, and we were, if anything, the opposite of that. So it was more like, okay... What's that guy from the history department doing here? he knows this is cultural studies, right?
You can't sit with us.
Basically, yeah.
And I love that you never really learn what the Professor Brothers teach or like what their field is.
I think that's
like part of the experience.
Yeah.
Well, I wrote down that the books on the shelves behind them, because the shelves are always stuffed with books. Like if you ever go into any kind of grad student or professor or even most teachers' offices, like there are just books everywhere that likely haven't been touched for generations. And
but it's like, just a mess. It's just a garbage mess in there, which is also accurate.
Yeah, so I wrote down some of my favorite book titles that I spotted. One of them, in one shot, all the books are by Dunst, which I assume is Kirsten Dunst.
Yes, he's a prolific author.
Yeah. One of the books was Daredevil. Another one just said Screeds, which is a big mood for 2018, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And finally, my favorite one, it was a book, like the entire spine of the book just said, woo!
I didn't spot that. I did, however, spot the one that just said ox sex, which...
Yeah, there was one like, angle where it was just all different kinds of sex and all the book names.
That's brilliant.
Oh, my God. It was, yeah. And it's good. It lets you, like, when you rewatch something, like, back then, you know, you would rewatch everything, like, 100 times, and it did give you, like, more things you would notice every time you watched it as you, like, memorized it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you pause and zoom in. Like, I remember a while ago when we did, Arkin Kerrigan, All That's Your Pie. Right.
Yeah.
Like we pause the video and we zoom in at the joke names on the game boxes in the background and so on.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because, I think most people I know who have drawn comics, especially like web comics and so on, or like illustrated, like when they get to do a full bookshelf,
they kill Pog.
Yeah, like they'll just fill it with as much as they possibly can because it's just very fun.
Yeah,
and it's all part of the characterization of the Professor Brothers and like who they are, and it tells you about like who they are outside of this scenario.
Yeah, and like I really like that. So let's start with the first video we watched, okay, which is the TA interview, mm-hmm. in which they basically terrorize someone who is applying for a teaching assistant position.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't want to jump ahead too much, but I did see a comment on this video that was like, I'm in grad school now, and this isn't what applying for a TAA ship is like, and I'm disappointed. And, like, wow, what a lucky person that is.
Wow.
Because...
You drew the golden straw.
Because, like, proving your, like, arbitrary loyalty is, like, a huge part of grad school sauce.
Yeah. It does remind me of, like, the best thing about... The best worst thing about the internet is that wherever you go on the internet looking for some kind of advice for a problem you have, there will always be someone in the comment section saying, I don't have that problem, bye!
Yeah, it's like, okay, great, that is singularly unhelpful. What did you hope to achieve by leaving that comment?
Yeah. But it also makes me feel like, is that person really in grad school? Like, are they really? Or are they just, like, getting their master's at a non-research university? Like, they don't have to interact with people like this.
Maybe they're a professor and they're just, like, astroturfing. You know how Amazon have, like, this army of bots to say, actually, working at Amazon is really good. I get to pee at least once a day.
Oh, yeah, the National Science Foundation will fund that, but they won't fund research staff.
and just the way that they're bullying, bullying escalates is, like, it's just fascinating.
It reminded me also a lot of, like, being interviewed, as a PhD student, like, as a prospective PhD student. I feel like a lot of is that of, it's so funny. And okay, so the whole thing centers around this, like, post-apocalyptic metaphor, and it sort of picks up, you know, in the middle, like, after they've, like, asked, I guess, like, the real questions, and now they're just like, how would you handle this, like, the real shit? And oh my god, and the horrified secretary who, like, keeps peeking in, like, why are you yelling at this student?
It's great. And, like, but before they get to the post-apocalypse, I just wrote down Stallone cuts.
Which is that was horrible.
I'm looking forward to the Stallone cuts episode of Binging with Babish, honestly. because it's like, that's the kind of shit that you eat when you're, you know, like, 3 days into an all-nighter working on some kind of grant proposal.
Oh, God.
I'll have to take your word for it.
Nothing has meaning anymore. It's, like, just a series of colors and lights and, like, and that's clearly how these characters, like, constantly live, right? Like, they have no schedule. They're just, like, they're just completely chaotic.
Yeah, like, and I think that really helps with the way that the books on the shelves are always changing, that you have no idea what they study, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because it's clearly completely ceased to matter to them.
That's tenure, baby!
Yeah! It's like, I wasn't expecting this to be our most political episode yet, but...
Here we are.
But it is...
It's true, though.
Yeah.
I mean, look, again, PhDs do not interact...
Yeah. So a couple more things from the first episode I wrote down, because I got this little notepad. So, he'd Like, one, I can never remember the professors' names. I know one of them's Frank and one of them's Steve.
Yeah.
Whichever one is one of them says that says that the TA should grow a brain, a dick, and a heart.
Yeah. And he's like, then I grew a brain, a dick,
oh,
and
yeah,
a heart.
Oh, that's right, yes. That's it.
It's like, what, you didn't have those before? Like, what?
Well, yeah, but like that's to show that you've come to terms with yourself. You know?
I think that's Frank. Yeah. I think that one is Frank.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and that you've understood that you have a fear of, what was it, warm fur coats,
yeah.
Martial arts and breath of all kinds.
That was the part which made me think this is like a McElroy bit.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
The phrase, a fear of breath of all kinds, is just...
With the implied parentheses, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's like a glimmer of millennial anxiety culture,
oh,
I
God,
think.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of good episode titles in this description.
Just...
Yeah. I just want one more of the first video. I just want to say I really like how Professor Steve, let's say, refers to binoculars as just Knox.
Yeah, they both call him Knox. And they don't ever say binoculars.
No.
Like,
but
so you just
you should
the picture
just
is binoculars, so you kind so it kind of helps, but yeah, if you were just listening to it, you would be like, "Okay, well."
Yeah.
I played enough first-person shooters. I get it, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's like when you first learn what ironsight means.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
Oh, okay, there's a word for that.
Yeah.
I love how the TA just leaves at the end.
Yeah,
the student, he just leaves. Like, there's no follow-up. Like, there's no ending. He doesn't ever say anything. He just leaves. It's very good.
Yeah. He just lets them... Like, and you know they're just going to keep going for, like, at least half an hour.
I have to say, you know... Like, if I was ever interviewed for something and the person interviewing me just started going off on one about, like...
The apocalypse?
The apocalypse. That would be when I left.
Yeah.
Not before I start being verbally abused. I would leave at the point where I start talking about... I'd probably leave at the phrase Knox, to be honest.
Well, that's why you quit after undergrad.
There you go, you see? Like, I've obviously got too much sense.
Yeah, and then so the second and third videos are the two-parter epic
Flip Night,
which is it's so good.
So the whole thing is basically a bender that Frank had.
Yeah,
where he just God, and like every episode, everything in their lives is going wrong. But that's sort of the. I guess the crux of it is that he was already, like, totally gone by when he even left. So none of this could have even happened.
Yeah, it's like one of those, like, fictional rock star monologues from, like, Wayne's World.
Mm, oh, yeah.
And, yeah, or like, no, you know what the Professor Brothers really reminds me of is Venture Bros?
God.
Ooh, yeah.
Just, like, not just because it's an exploration of, like
bad characters who are bad people,
deeply toxic masculinity.
Yeah,
you know, but also because like they're just playing the game, and so everything that happens to them and around them happens within the realm of this is just part of the life.
Yeah.
Like the physics professors having what was it, an Oppenheimer pinata party?
Yeah, that was great.
Which is, like, I would go to an Oppenheimer pinata party. That would be superb.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and like, Professor Frank is drinking a bottle of something called sports acid.
Yeah, while he's telling the story.
Yeah.
All the drinks, like, the there was, like, he drinks, like, basically, like, a Mountain Dew or something in his flashback, and it just says Lime Time all on the...
Lime Time?
Yeah.
So speaking of purchasing decisions, near the end of part two, we do see him stripped down to his kivvies, and he is wearing 8-ball pants.
Oh yeah, underwear with 8 balls.
Which I don't know if I want to own or like ritually burn.
Like, what is more like that's a pretty Spencer's Gifts like purchase? I feel like it's a very
yes.
like
We don't have Spencer's gifts, but I know.
What's your, like, garbage toxic masculinity mall store that's not, like, a fashion store,
Mankind?
But, like, a dick
store? Mankind, maybe?
Yeah.
Or, like, just, like...
There's a lot of useless shit, like, in those stores.
Yeah, just, like, any tourist trap, basically.
Pretty yeah. Much,
yeah, that has, like, t-shirts yeah. that say, nobody knows I'm a lesbian, and yeah. that kind of thing.
Yeah, that kind of thing. That's, and of course that's where he shops, because that's where college students shop.
Yeah, because it's cheap, and it's vaguely amusing.
Vaguely.
And that's all you need to get you through. Like, there's a reason that students drink so, so much.
Pregnant pause.
We're leaving it in.
Yeah. I never saw as much drinking in undergrad as I did in grad school, which is really fucking saying something. It's a different quality.
And part of that is also because it's a different legality. Over here in the UK, 18 is when you can drink.
Yeah.
And from the first week as a fresher, or a freshman, like, everyone, apart from, like, me and a couple of other people...
Yes, absolutely blooded.
Yeah, you just... Like, before you go out to drink... You get completely broken.
Let's do pre-drinks before. It's like, what? I know. Yeah. I thought the idea was to go out sober and come home.
No.
Drunk.
No.
You've got to be drunk all the way there and back, which is just sounds terrible.
Look, nothing prepares you for a classy night at a club like a 3 liter of cider from the 24-hour spa around the corner.
Yeah.
So you all don't have the same, like, awkward tension of, like, half the people being able to legally drink and half the people not, but everyone is.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, everyone just does.
By the time uni's happened, like, the youngest that someone's going to be at uni is, like, 19.
18, 19, yeah.
18, 19, and, yeah.
Yeah, like...
It's terrible. Everyone's drunk, like,
UK drinking culture is its own documentary series.
Let's not go there.
Yeah, let's not. Because I think we've said just about everything we need to about the actual episode so far.
Okay. I will say one thing I want to say about the episode, because as I was rewatching these episodes to pick what's to pick, I want to say I was pleasantly surprised that the joke about the bad hookup was just a fat joke and not a transphobic joke.
Yeah, it's still awful.
Here it comes.
But
it's pretty bad. Yeah.
I was shocked. I was shocked that was not worse than it was. It's still bad. Let me make sure I say it. Of course, it is still bad. But wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear that she wasn't exactly hooking up with a 10-gallon stud. In return.
Yeah.
But no, it's not great.
Yeah, the fact that... I think that also says something about the character, right? Where, like, he's like, oh, well, this lady that I hooked up with is, like, so ugly and was so bad, but, like, yeah, look at him.
Yeah, I know, right?
Why is he, you know, insisting on this or, like, pointing this out? Because he's an asshole, that's why.
Yeah, he is. And like, speaking of which, the last thing I wanted to say is that the last cartoon we watched contains one of the best lines I've heard in one of the fashion we watched so far, and because it's genuinely wonderful, because at one point he says, I was no one to everyone.
Oh yeah.
And that just cuts deep into the soul.
Fucking ouch.
Like I said at the start, like, there are some really poetic turns of phrase.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good writing in it, in describing what was going on in a funny way and just in an interesting way.
Yeah, it's the kind of anecdote you would love to overhear.
Oh yeah,
but absolutely. Never want to be told.
Yeah.
Oh god,
we're all that secretary.
We are all the secretary. So you have done some research for us, haven't you?
A little bit.
Which means that it's time. You can do it if you want.
It's time for a flash.
Ah.
I love that.
It feels really good, doesn't it?
So a lot of the comments that I saw were like, "This is funnier than the TV show," and so I just want to, so we know Brad Neely from, like, the Washington thing, like, Washington, 6'5", where's a fucking ton?
It's definitely, it's on our list. We will be getting to Washington.
Yeah. He's worked on a lot of like from this web series, like Professor Brothers and some other stuff. He did have a TV show called China Illinois, which was like had the Professor Brothers and another character, Baby Cakes, from a different series. Oh, like, I think in the world.
Yeah, I think I watched like 2 episodes of that. Vaguely.
And it was on Adult Swim.
Yeah.
I don't remember it at all. Like, I remember it coming out, but I don't remember watching it at all, so I don't think it was probably good, is the thing.
Fair enough. I mean, I don't remember anything about it other than I think I watched it.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I remembered as well. And, that happened. The latest thing apparently that he worked on was Wizard People, Dear Reader, and has done Harry Potter stuff as well.
Yeah, for those who don't know, could you describe Wizard People, Dear Reader?
So I haven't actually watched this, but Wizard People, Dear Reader, released in 2004, is an unauthorized alternative soundtrack to Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
It is. Okay, so I have actually watched it a couple of times. Basically, it's the whole first Harry Potter movie.
Right.
But he's redone the audio track to as if it were an audio book being read by him as J.K. Rowling.
Oh my god.
And while some of the humor has not aged that well, like he drops a few arslers and that kind of stuff, but it is both absolutely fucking ridiculous and a pitch perfect parody of the way that J.K. Rowling wrote Harry Potter.
Okay, yeah. That sounds fantastic. Yeah, I can't believe I've never heard of that before. I mean, maybe I've heard of it in passing and just forgotten about it.
It's possible. It's like one of those cult classic early internet things.
Okay.
But it's worth tracking down, I'd say.
Yeah, I probably will after this.
Yeah.
According to Wikipedia, that's the most recent thing that he did. I think the thing that I know him most for is probably, like, this era, that, like, late 20-aughts Professor Brothers and the Washington thing in China, Illinois. And I didn't even realize that he was, that, like, I remember when Wizard People, Dear Reader, like, happened a couple years ago, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right, this is all the same guy.
Yeah.
I never watched Baby Cakes. I remember that existing, and it seems like a lot. I feel like that probably didn't age well.
It's possible, yeah. I have a vague memory, but that's it.
It's described on Wikipedia as, shorts are typically in the style of entries narrated in the first person by Mark Baby Cakes, a philosophical and possibly mentally ill 30-year-old man.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
That doesn't sound...
So, yeah. Brad Ealing's been making stuff for a while, and it eventually turned into, you know, writing for comedy TV and other stuff, and he's not like some like unknown lead software engineer on Tinder or anything like that. You know, he's in the industry.
Yeah, I like how you specified Tinder.
Well, like literally, that was one of the previous people that we covered.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Uncovered that he was in fact lead software engineer at Tinder.
Yeah, that's right.
Might have been a long time ago for you, but it was not that long ago for me that I listened to the episode.
Well, we appreciate your listenership. wouldn't it be great if it turned out that Brad Neely actually, like, also worked on an erotic furry playing card
game? Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no.
I want to play that game.
Actually,
the one that Brad Neely makes.
Yeah, what I want is Brad Neely to write about Feroticum.
I'm not sure you do, really.
It's cool that, like, a lot of this humor, like, has a very clear, like, through line over the past 10-15 years into what we, the people who are now 10 to 15 years older, think is funny. And that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, a lot of what we've seen over the 20 bloody episodes we've done.
Yeah.
Woo, we've done 20 episodes.
We've done it.
But we've seen a lot of the origins of the kind of humor that either has come and gone or is, like, commonplace now. And we can see a lot of the original instigators of things.
Yeah.
And it's quite cool. Yes. So, speaking of instigators, brilliant segue, Tom. I know. you have cultivated some comments for us, I believe.
So, there's not a lot of preserved comments on Albino Black Sheep, which is where I think these were for a long time.
Yeah, no, we've
they are on Brad Neely's YouTube.
Yeah, we discovered the albino black sheep comment apocalypse a while ago.
Yeah.
The YouTube comments are I did find some that were from 9 years ago, which is like when this was uploaded, so that's cool.
Yeah.
But all the comments, I will say, so the first comment I have is just someone saying this entire fucking episode is one long quotable one-liner. Thank God. Which I think really captures that sort of like pre-meme fatigue that we are so like bathed in now.
Yeah.
Like that used to be a good thing, like to find more like quotes to repeat to your friends and stuff.
Specifically, like it's one big long one, and so it's not going to be just a single line or two that like get really old really fast.
Yeah.
And you would have the conversation, like, with your friends. Like, one person would say one line, and you would just, like, do it back and forth for the scene.
Yeah.
Alex.
Oh, my God.
Alex, would you like to take the second one by Video Jomo?
Frank is just as pathetic in the web shorts as in the, is that Cartoon Network?
Yeah.
Adult Swim.
Yeah, as in the Cartoon Network cartoon. But he's much more of a weaselly creep in the cartoon. I prefer him when he's well-meaning but pathetic. I can kind of identify with that, kind of. I don't know when he's well-meaning. I'd like to have that pointed out to me.
I love the idea that he got worse on the TV show. Like, maybe because of people like this that didn't get it.
How did he get worse? Zach Davis, replying to someone called Yusarian 9.
That comment was deleted also.
Oh, wonderful. Replying to a mystery comment. Said, this is the most random and hilarious thing ever. How does he think of shit like that? I bow to Neely's superior comic genius.
I mean, the dialogue is great. It's because it's so, everything is said in such an unusual way, and with like such like biting but unusual like metaphors.
Yeah, I think it's because it's consistently unusual as well.
Yeah,
like it doesn't spin off into random directions. It feels like it has internal consistency.
Yeah, and so as much as people grab lines from it, and like all the other comments besides these were just repeating lines from the video.
Welcome to YouTube.
Yay.
So that was funny, but it did also like really remind me of like when I used to do that, you know. It was a different time where that was the whole thing, and you would go, you know, hang out with your friends and you would just repeat lines at each other, and that was what you did versus now.
Versus now where you repeat the line and then someone like types it up in Photoshop and saves it as a bad JPEG so that 10 minutes later they can paste it back at you.
Yeah.
And also now, instead of videos that everyone watched, it's like really obscure one-off Tumblr posts that I found and linked to my friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
That no one in the wider, like, you know, this also used to be like a thing, you know, where all people that were part of like this certain subculture were like able to signal to each other by knowing this media. And like now I'm almost 30 and I never watched Game of Thrones. I don't have anything in common with offline nerds.
It's
it was
like
a simpler time.
It's like being a Freemason but with none of the social benefits.
Or the cool club.
Or the cool club, yeah. Exactly. okay. So let's rotate. Divac, you can go next.
Okay. Thanks. So this one really got me because user 8 years ago, Tane MC says, Brad Neely, please produce some animated porn. The Shark Girl at 132, for example. Let's get some of that.
Oh god, yeah, no, I remember the Shark Girl because like it's her and like a human guy who pop up on Professor Steve's computer and they're both sharing a speech bubble that says yes.
Yes. Yeah.
I have news for this commenter. You are a furry. You are a furry.
Well, that was 8 years ago, so maybe they've,
Maybe they've become, like, one of the premier furry shark artists.
I mean, good on them.
So that was all for Fliff Night. Okay. And I need to preface this next comment that this was a comment for TA interview.
For the TA interview. And it's by it's by CPI23, and it says, "My favorite Jordan Peterson lecture." Boom! Got him!
Yeah.
I love, and this was from 8 months ago, so I love that that person, like, engaged with something about Jordan Peterson and was like, "This reminds me of my old favorite cartoon, Professor Brothers."
Dash Sheeta said, "Yeah, I was pretty let down by the show as well. It's not anywhere near as funny as these shorts. The comedy is almost completely different and, in my opinion, not anywhere near as intelligent."
Oh. Okay.
So I wonder what... I grabbed this one because, like, I wonder what the show was like if this was more intelligent.
Yeah.
But I get it. Like, I get the intelligence, like, the vocabulary, right? And I can imagine that writing for TV, you probably have to limit your vocabulary. I've worked with screenwriters before for various stuff, and sometimes there have been restrictions on projects where it's like you have to write at a sixth grade level and you can't go above.
Huh.
Like, Alex, you've seen some of it. Diva, have you seen Nirvana the Band?
No.
But Nirvana the Band, the show, was a really good web series about this aspiring band who seems to never play any music, but were always trying to come up with schemes to actually get publicity and fans without making any music whatsoever.
There were also people, there were some comments that were like, I came here because I was linked from Nirvana the Band.
Oh, okay. Was a similar kind of like two main characters who would have weird, wacky adventures but like monologue off each other a lot, but like the translation between that, because that got picked up by Vice as a series, and while it's still very good, there's a definite shift in its personality.
Definitely.
So I wonder if a similar thing happened here with the Professor Brothers.
It's definitely different between like an online short where like a very specific like subculture is going to look at it versus television.
Yes, definitely. All right. So what's next? Diva, you're next.
Thank you. 7 years ago, Duct Tape 95 said about TA interview, "Anyone get the Of Mice and Mine reference?"
Did you, Duct Tape 95?
I don't think they did.
So something we didn't explicitly mention. Oh, yes. Heard that there was it was Lenny killing the bunnies, which is a thing in Of Mice and Men.
Yeah,
and it's sad.
It is, but it's worked into this apocalypse narrative.
So that's a lot.
It is. right.
But also a huge number of comments. Like this one and the next one are both like very common. Like everything is variations of this.
Okay. Right, Alex.
As Benjamin Levy 7 years ago, "And you got to deal with the shit in order to be the cougar tears shit other than LMAO, I'm speechless." Is that just repeating one of the lines?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's just repeating one of the lines, but like with some nice punctuation embellishment.
Yes.
This person did the best job.
I like the tildes. I think they're good.
Yeah, tildes are pretty cool. And
Okay, this next one's in backwards order. You read it from the bottom to the top.
Okay.
And I screenshotted this one because it shows the difference in like what comments were like 7 years ago versus now. So ENND posts, "Gabe."
Oh man, I didn't know this was grade 2.
It's from the video, buddy.
Sorry, man. I was drunk and a tad pissed.
Is there any other way to be?
Wisdom.
They're friends now.
Reader, I am married. I can't help but wonder, like, because especially on YouTube, you see like small little comment threads. Sometimes it's just like a little conversation between people, and you kind of wonder, like, are these just two ships passing in the night? Like, is a friendship going to form from any of these?
I think it's possible.
Yeah?
I think it's possible. My favorite kind of YouTube comment is the one where someone says, like, oh, what's the deal? I don't get it. And then it's like, view 82 replies. That's always brilliant. I love that.
The best kind of YouTube comments for me are the one where it's like, just like an innocuous comment. This is a really good video. My uncle saw this band back in 83. And then like, view 613 comments. And then like, the most recent comment is, well, actually, I think you'll find that Winston Churchill did a lot of that. But thank you. These were some delightful comments. And Professor Brothers is, I'm probably gonna at some point in the next week just power through every single one, because I want to thank you for bringing it back into my life.
It's definitely a big mood for recovering academics.
It really is, yeah. Like Alex, we didn't like how is it without the benefit of like. Well, I say benefit without the certain experiences,
the trauma of
without the hashtag relatable.
I mean, like I said, like it does remind me of people that I've like bumped into, like some like people that I've sat near at university or people that who were friends of friends. But yeah, again, I'm just trying to like I guess put myself in the situation. Like I said with the interview, I would have left long before they started talking about the apocalypse. I think you probably do get like some like an added you probably do get more out of it if you've actually been to grad school
or at least had a professor experience of that caliber.
But like it does remind me of like just people who were supposed to be like my lecturers just spouting utter nonsense.
you can tell when you have a professor like that.
Oh gosh, I completely forgot, but one thing that made me just guffaw out loud was when he mentions Momo, his girlfriend, who is way too young for him.
Yeah, like, of course he's dating a student, like of course he is, right?
Like that's not just a grad school thing, like that we've all known someone like that.
Yeah,
we've all known
but
someone.
Also the arrested development of calling her his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Right, like, oh, like this is gonna work out.
Pray for Momo.
Momo got her revenge, though. She posted the breakup letter on the all over campus.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah, good for her.
Get fucked, Professor Steve. Right, so we have another couple of tunes that you've brought us. So
totally different thing. So throughout the podcast, I've been racking my brain to try to think of like what are things I really remember watching when I was a kid that have not yet appeared on the show. And I had this like fever dream of this very specific thing. And this is one of those things where I thought that maybe it wasn't real.
Yeah.
And I thought this was just like an amalgamation of several memories. and this show is from the website Rather Good.
Rather Good.
Which I remember that, yeah.
Would go on to make those Quiznos commercials. I believe they were originally linked off of Albino Black Sheep.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
They were part of that.
But only one remains.
Yeah.
The one that I remember the most is the first episode that we're going to watch, which is episode 2, A Trip to the Seaside.
Okay.
Tales of the Bloat. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. Let's just experience this.
Oh,
together.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and you can understand like how I didn't know if I made this up or not.
That's the dreaded woe, kitten. I am powerless against it.
And we're back. Alex looks as though... Tell us your thoughts.
How did you even find this?
I don't know. Maybe it found me.
So, I'd never heard of this before.
No, me either.
It's bad, that's why. It's not good.
Yeah, it's not...
I didn't hate it.
Yeah, I know, I didn't hate it.
But like, by which I mean, I kind of liked it.
Right, episode 4 had a plot, which was better than episode 2.
Okay, that's fair.
Which was just, like, a series of threats and, like, goofy jokes, I guess. Like, character jokes. But by episode four, there was, like, a callback to the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, there was a Chekhov's Orange Game.
Yeah, when you say it like that, it sounds good.
Does it? So Alex, you wanna run us through the plot of parts two and four?
I couldn't even if I wanted to. Okay. I couldn't even if I wanted to, I couldn't do it because it's incomprehensible.
Okay, that's fair. Well, actually, tell you what, as our resident musician, how banging were those tunes?
That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
I like the music a lot.
It's some great turn of the Millennium Jungle.
Yeah.
Going on.
Yeah, that is the phrase I was looking for. It's like, I was like, is this a specific genre of EDM? But I can't.
Yeah, I can see like Coop from Human Traffic just grooving to
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And like, it's, I mean, rather good. Like, they made a lot of songs. That was kind of their thing that they ended up doing. And so it's weird that this is so bad, but the music is good. It's wild.
Did they make the music themselves?
I assume yes, because it's all it's all just credited to Joel Veitch, who is the Crab of Ineffable Wisdom.
That's his face.
That's
his.
That's his. Yeah.
Okay.
I was wondering, is that like an obscure UK celebrity?
Yeah.
Because that was the joke I was expecting.
Yeah. That's usually the joke.
Yeah, that it would be like Les Dennis.
Or something like that.
Actually, no, Paula Grady.
I think there are other episodes that do have UK celebrities in them and references, but I did not pick those.
Can I share my thoughts on this? Because, like, and I'm not going to go full, you know, like, high school essay, but this feels to me like if the folks who made Orphan House had been raised on Spike Milligan instead of Monty Python.
You know what?
It's ridiculous and very surreal, but it feels a lot more good-hearted, and it feels a lot less mean.
Yeah, it definitely feels a lot less mean than Orphan House.
Like Orphan House is a series of like vague friends just abusing each other in odd ways, and just endless screaming and argument. And this was like, it was an adventure, but it was a fucking stupid adventure. You know, it could have been, you know, like a, yeah, it feels quite Spike Milligan-y. It feels like a story you'd tell a child that the child was also making up as you went along.
Yeah. It feels like, oh, I should make, like, an animation to, like, you know, get in with, you know, like, oh, I want to make music, but, like, the hot thing is to make these short animations now online, so I'll make some.
Yeah, it's very pure strain, this is funny to me kind of thing. As in, like, it was clearly very funny or very amusing to Joe Veitch. There were a few things that I genuinely really enjoyed. I did enjoy the first threat they faced, which was, and I wrote this down, Helium Puffer Jacket Blue Paint Boy.
That was really specific. Like, that seems like a person he met or something, you know?
Yeah, specifically the puffer jacket.
Yeah. I mean, puffer jackets are fairly common.
Was that the beginning of that or something?
I think.
Puffer jackets come out in, like, 2001 or whatever?
Oh, maybe. No, puffer jackets were around in the 80s.
Yeah, they were a thing for a while, but I think just, like, as an archetype, it feels like it fits some kind of, like local hard man kind of character.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and then just like, are you wondering, okay, so he sneezes blue paint on them, and then you're wondering, okay, like, so what's the helium part? And then he just inflates to escape.
I like the really slow ascent out of frame.
Yes.
That part was good. I also liked how he spoke like he had a nose full of blue paint as well.
Yeah.
That was a nice touch.
Speaking of the voice acting, this is the triumphant return to this podcast of the man clearly doing a very lazy girl voice.
Yeah, his voice cracks. He can't quite pull off the falsetto.
He's trying to do it, but bless him, he's not quite getting it.
Yeah.
it's in the sort of like it's in like the sort of the Monty Python woman's voice sort of It's there somewhere.
Yeah, it's not quite a Pepper Pot, but
it's not quite, but
yeah, it's definitely the Dennis. There's some lovely filth down here, kind of thing. So we have a song. Apart from the background music, we have a song in each part. And the first part, they're singing about a centipede.
Yes.
Which is a just charming song that if I were 5 years old, I would never stop singing and annoying my family with. But that's to the tune of The Sun Has Got His Hat On.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And in the second cartoon, it's Feed the Food, because Food, who is Bload's friend, his food has been stolen. The box of food that is his has been stolen. It's his food feed, you see.
Yeah.
And this that's is where the half joke, of, yes.
That's where half of the jokes in the episode But Feed the Food, which I believe you said during the watch was the song that you remembered?
Yeah, so that song, the Feed the Food, that little song was like the ghost memory that I couldn't place.
Yeah.
And I remember more of episode 2, but like episode 4, the food feed song was like the thing that made me remember this Flash animation and try to figure it out. And I don't know, I did some like, I don't know, like my brain just like accessed its old dusty memories and was like rather good. And I was like, oh, of course.
Yes. Do you know the origin of that tune?
I do not.
So, remember in the 80s when charity singles were a big thing in the US? And you had, like, We Are the World?
Yeah.
So, the UK/Live Aid equivalent was called Feed the World.
Ah. Yes.
And it goes, Feed the World, let them know it's Christmas time.
Oh,
huge charity single.
Right.
And that's what Feed the Food is.
It's the same tune.
Yeah. So there you go. It's a classic best-selling charity single from 1985.
I think I have heard that like on the radio during Christmas time, but weirdly enough, didn't make the connection between like a real produced song and that.
Because it does kind of feel like it was made just like in a vacuum, in like a locked off cell, maybe.
It exists in its own space only.
Yes. Yeah. But it's so of its time. I think we talked a little bit before actually hitting play that it came out in like 2002, 2003,
somewhere around there. Yeah.
Which certainly makes it concurrent with the Orphan Houses of the world.
Yeah.
And it does have a lot of the same visual flair, quote unquote.
Yeah, it's like a lot of like flat colors and like just the sky is just like block blue,
and the characters are mostly just like circles with faces.
I love how they're constantly sliding. Like,
yes,
I remember trying out Flash animation when I was a teenager, and like there's some part of my brain that's like, that's a thing. That's like a thing. You didn't like set the coordinates between keyframes or something, so they're just like very gently sliding.
which is one of the best parts of it for me.
Yeah.
but imagine if you were watching, I don't know, an episode of any kind of three camera sitcom. Like, let's say Big Bang Theory,
right? Okay.
And it's a regular scene in Big Bang Theory, and they're talking about science and how scary girls are.
This is painful
already. Then all of a sudden, Raj just starts very slowly sliding to the left of frame.
That would improve the whole series by a lot.
Yeah. If, like, the show is identical, but Raj has no friction.
Yeah, they're wearing rollerblades the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole series takes place on an ice rink.
Big Bang Theory on ice would be one of the signs that humanity needs to end.
Yes. Oh my God.
I mean, we already had Young Sheldon and, well...
At least it wasn't Young Sheldon on ice.
Give it a minute. It's the holidays,
you
know?
Oh, no. It's coming. We've had Spider-Man on ice, right?
No, we had Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
That was the one, the stage show.
The infamous play musical stage show with music by The Edge and Bono that was incredibly dangerous.
That did happen.
Yeah. Happened. Yeah.
What else have I got written down here? Oh yeah. So in episode 4, and I was waiting for it to happen, because it happened, I don't think we've seen it properly yet, but we do get a glimpse of one of the early to mid, like the 2000s internet's wonderful main fixations, which was ninjas versus pirates.
Oh, yeah.
And you do get a pirate character who is a pirate baby riding a, what creature was it?
Chinchilla?
Chinchilla on a scooter.
It weirdly reminded me a lot of that one boss from Resident Evil 4, the Napoleon guy. And it was just like a Photoshop amalgamation of things, and like that was the joke. Another sort of early 2000s staple that has unfortunately like continued for a lot longer, I feel like, is just everything being kittens. Everything, that's the joke. Yeah. The joke is kittens.
The joke was kittens and cats. So we had the kitten of woe.
Yeah, woe kitten.
Woe unto thee.
Really must have been proud of that voice sample and distortion.
To be fair, that is kind of frightening.
It was
kind of legitimately scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'd been, like, 8 years old, and I was watching a cartoon, like, I don't know, DuckTales, and that showed up, I'd be like, ooh,
yeah,
okay.
You'd remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that moment in particular was a bit Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with, like, because I think I might have talked about this on the podcast before. Hopefully not. I'll keep it brief. But Courage the Cowardly Dog fucked me up, because the first episode I ever saw...
Though?
Return the Slab.
Fucked so many people up.
Oh, yeah,
really did.
I don't think we have talked about it on the show before.
Oh, okay.
And yeah.
That's the like the iconic Ramsey's. Courage the Cowardly Dog episode.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it brought locusts, and I I'm kind of scared of bugs, and like I didn't want locusts.
And the song, like just something about that song was like it was supposed to be funny, but it was scary.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. This was not as good as Courage the Cowardly Dog, but...
No, but, yeah, I get where you're coming from, yeah.
Yeah, oh, and speaking of Photoshop stuff, we got just JPEG artifact pixels just hanging in the air.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Which felt very retro.
Yeah.
And another thing this reminded me of, and we haven't gotten to it properly, but Weeble and Bob... Which is a series we will be getting onto at some point
we'll
in the future.
There.
Don't worry. Don't worry. Hold your horses. Hold your horses. We'll get to them. But, again, has had a similar sensibility in terms of the LOL random humor. In that it's not like the madcap mile-a-minute LOL random stuff that you would sometimes get. But it's more like a slow, here's an incredibly silly thing. We're going to talk about this incredibly silly thing for a minute or so. Now it's gone.
I almost wonder if it has to do with the age of the person that was making it, because...
Yeah. How old was he when he made these?
Yeah, so hold on, let's see.
Oh, before you do, I'm going to guess, if that's okay.
Okay.
I'm going to guess he was about 25, 26.
28.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In his Wikipedia article, if Joel Veitch's thing is correct, he was born in 1974... So he was already kind of like, you know, if it was very different, right? Like we were like 11.
Joel Veitch is like firmly Gen X.
So, but it's also someone who is, you know, now I'm 29. So like if I had to make something that appealed to a 12-year-old now, I would be like, yeah, dabbing, right? The Fortnite dance.
Yeah, that's the thing. You have all 12-year-olds Fortnite or whatever. I don't.
Yeah, but at the same time, like the resources available are so different.
Yeah.
Now than then.
But I think that's also why it's so like it has a happy ending and it's like very like sweet almost. Like it's
they're all blissfully happy forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
I think because it's being older and being like more, it's just like not as like not being 19 and, or even 16 and making those animations and being like, this is cool and edgy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, like this feels like, and it's weird to say it, but this does feel more mature than a lot of other contemporary stuff.
Because it doesn't, I mean, it's a rare occasion of like there's no fart joke.
No,
like, there's no like belching, there's no like swearing, or it's a very kind of like,
it's restrained.
Yeah, it's very restrained. It's actually kind of unique in its own way, because it doesn't have a lot of the stuff that was going on in Flash animation around the time this was made.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's why I liked it and why it appealed to me as like a 11 or 12 year old, because I, like, my brother and I were always really like sweet, innocent kids. Like, we weren't interested in like using our computer to download porn until a couple years later. And so
okay, thank you for the clarification.
And so we were like that was like, oh, okay, it's like not too violent, you know, like a lot of the ones that had a lot of blood in them, we were kind of like still like a little like, ew, I don't want to watch that.
Yeah. Did you ever try and like share your Flash passions with like any other members of your family, or was it just a you two thing?
Oh, the Choose Your Own Adventure PowerPoints that I made, I tried to share with my family, and it was like one of my earliest memories of the experience of like my parents not really giving a shit about it, like, oh, that, no. Oh, that's nice, dear, like kind of thing, of like just like when I try to explain video games to them now. Like, you know, that kind of thing of like, oh, this is like this cool, and they're like, oh, that's nice, but it's just like they're so far, like they can't understand it.
Yeah.
And so they like want to be enthusiastic about it, but I remember I did some Flash animation in computer science class in high school, because we did some games.
Oh, gosh.
And used Flash to make them. But I never shared anything online. Like, I had dial-up until I was in college, so everything took 30 years to upload. So we never, like, uploaded or shared anything. I also don't remember if I even shared my Choose Your Own Adventure stories, like, with my friends at school. I feel like it was with, like, my brother and the friends we had that would come over to our house, but not, like, the larger school friends, so... I had my like weird niche gamer shame like on that early. 10 years old was like, this is too embarrassing. Shouldn't show this to other people.
Yeah, I wish I had had similar discipline when I was 14.
Don't worry, I drew like comics and stuff. And like, yeah, that I shared with other people, and that was a mistake.
Being 14 was a mistake.
Yes.
One more thing I really enjoyed in the Legend of the Blood was in the second episode we watched, in episode 4, when they discover that they've had some food stolen, the Crab of Ineffable Wisdom says that their method for catching the culprit is pretty simple, because they've got footage of the crime, but he says, I left the penguin recording all night. And yeah. It's just a penguin that says wreck on it.
Yeah, it's just a straight up replacement of penguin and camera. Like, there's no additional joke. It's just that.
Yeah. It's just the penguin. And like, that really tickled me.
It kind of felt like to me that it was like, okay, is this some kind of like nanny cam thing? Or is it literally just a penguin that is also a camera somehow?
It's probably a nanny cam
probably,
now.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, gosh. So I work in a cinema, and yesterday a family came in, and one of the children had, you know, Elf on the Shelf?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
That horrible surveillance culture thing, where it's like, the elf is watching you, don't be naughty. A child came in to the cinema bringing their elf from the shelf.
Wow.
As if they were carrying around a beloved stuffed toy. And it made me really sad.
Yeah.
That's... Oh, my God.
I know. Sorry to bring down the tone.
I mean, but it's a child. You don't really know, right? Like, maybe the child didn't even understand the surveillance part and was just like, this is my Christmas friend.
Yeah. No, that I hope that's the case. I hope that child and that elf are doing well.
Yeah. Maybe that's the elf that, like, broke off and quit and was like, I'm done with this.
Oh, it's a rebel elf.
Like, got, you know, like went in undercover and then, like, got lost in it and... It's now just a toy.
So, are you saying this toy might have lost his sense of elf?
Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah. Anyway, well, I think that's a good time to move on to
a little bit of stuff about Rather Good. So it's another Flash. So Rather Good, I feel like the reason, like, people know Rather Good or might remember Rather Good because of the, I think it's just called the Sponge Monkeys or like Spong Monkeys. I don't remember. I remember saying Sponge Monkeys, but they were in that Quiznos commercial and it was like, eat Quiznos subs because it is good to us. And it was like really weird. It was like, right.
Ooh.
Like, remember Quiznos also, first of all. And then secondly, like, remember when Quiznos was like going down and like tried to be weird to like revamp its image.
So Quiznos isn't a thing here. No. I do remember the very catchy song about the $5 footlong.
That's Subway. Quiznos is a different Subway, Subway.
I don't remember. Okay. But are these the people that did that one advert for Crusher, which was like a milk additive that made it taste of things?
That might be them.
With like really ugly photoshopped
cats.
Cats with like human mouths and eyes.
Yes, it is here on Wikipedia.
Hated those adverts with a passion.
Yeah, like I remember being fascinated by them because I recognize it as, okay, this is a kind of animation they do on the internet. Why is it on telly?
Yeah. That is how I felt about the Quiznos commercials.
Yeah, like why? Yeah.
Yeah. It was very early in that. Like, I think that was the Quiznos commercials were like the first time that anything from online like leaked into mainstream, and I was like, "Oh, that belongs online."
Yeah, for me the first one, I've mentioned it before, but for me the first one was I was watching an MTV behind the video thing for Linkin Park, and one of the guys from Linkin Park was wearing a Strong Bad hoodie.
Yeah, see, that just doesn't gel with me. That's just not done. Don't do
Mike Shinoda, change your shirt.
No, it is weird though.
It is.
It's still weird.
Especially if it's a celebrity. Because it's like, hold on, like this niche culture, like imagine if, I don't know, like Taylor Swift, like in an interview mentioned that like back in the day she really liked Animutation.
That'd be so strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, hold on, no, you're like, as a celebrity, you're not a person anymore. And so you should, I mean, not seriously, but
you couldn't have been browsing the same bullshit I was browsing, and then you did this.
Yeah, there but for the grace of God, you know? But yes, please continue.
But it's all weird. Anyway, so Rather Good like did a bunch of other of those kind of animations. They made music. There's like sort of different, like there are Rather Good songs, and then there are the band 7 Seconds of Love, and it's all, it like blends together in terms of like who like this, where it's this group or just Joel Veitch by himself. I don't know. But there's a bunch of songs, and they're from 2007 to 2011, and it's all, like, goofy, like, the same kind of sense of humor, but for some reason it works more in a song.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. I think it definitely does. Like, I don't want to listen to any of this. Like, this is all, like, lol random. Like, I think it definitely needs to go, like, a few steps further to be, like, the Aquabats, for example. But it's...
So it's somewhere between Aquabats and, say, Flight of the Conchords in terms of oddness.
Yeah, but not. I don't think executed as well.
That's fair.
But the music in those animations was weirdly good.
It was banging.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It's weird because the animation, the story is so bad, and then like the music is like blah 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 blah, and you're like, oh my god, what's happening?
Yeah, I do kind of like the juxtaposition of like this very gentle and silly children's story with like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's like if Peppa Pig had like a Gabba soundtrack.
Oh my god, what if though?
Oh, right. Alex, you're
no. That's way too much work.
Save that for another anniversary episode. Episode 50.
Episode 50, the Peppa Pig Gabba Gambit. Okay.
I definitely remember the Crusher adverts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Crusher,
like Crusher adverts are linked.
I feel like I have the theme from one of the Crusher adverts like lodged in my brain for a long time.
Oh, Switch Maestro, the credit cards.
Oh, God,
which had
yeah.
penguins in.
Yeah.
Virgin Trains at littlerbritain.co.uk. What? I've never heard of that one. Oh, they had the VH1 promos. With, like, the kittens in the band?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently they did songs for the CITV series Jim, Jam, and Sonny, which only have neither of us heard of, but doesn't even have a Wikipedia page.
Yeah, what? It could be fake. This is flagged on Wikipedia as, like, it needs additional citations.
Oh, yeah.
I just called it. Scroll down a bit more.
Okay.
He now regularly appears as the internet go-to guy for Nuts TV.
What? And appears on Sky News and BBC News as an internet savvy guest? I mean, I'm happy for him, but what?
Is that Nuts TV as in Nuts the magazine? It might be.
Like, they don't even have lads mags in America.
No, not really.
No,
not aside from, like, Playboy?
That's not a... Playboy is a lads mag.
Yeah, it's not really, though.
No, let's leave that for now.
All right, fair.
Like, let's not go down that, that dusty, sweaty corridor.
Please don't say that. Thank you.
I love that it says Joel now regularly appears, and then in the little citation says when because Wikipedia is like when. But I love the idea that he appeared on Sky News and BBC News as like their internet we bring in internet expert.
This guy who made some Flash animations one time.
Yeah, it's wild. Apparently, RatherGood.com won some Webby Awards.
Okay.
Which is a thing that I've heard of before.
Yeah, I've heard
for
of those.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then it says his film Uncle Wormsley's Christmas was awarded Best Original Score at the Sapporo International Short Film Festival.
What? In Japan. Wow. And it was nominated for Best Animated Film in the International Film Awards in Berlin. Oh my gosh. Sorry, it says here. And I know that this podcast content is just us reading Wikipedia, but
we're
this
in
is,
shock.
This is wild, though, right? So it's a half-hour Christmas special that he animated, starring Steve Coogan,
what?
A.K.A. Alan Partridge, Julian Barrett, A.K.A. Howard from Mighty Boosh.
Oh my God!
Julia Davis, John Thompson. Oh, like these are like legit names in British comedy.
Yeah, they are.
Well, the big thing at the bottom, it says external links, and it has an interview, and it says, it notes this interview is prior to his worldwide kitten success. So, I think those ads, like, must have made a big impact.
They must have made
an impact. Even though we remember and hate them, but clearly they made an impact on us.
Well, like, there's a lot of money in advertising.
If there's one thing I remember, it's that Crusher is tough enough to make milk great.
Oh my gosh. But in the advert... He's doing it in an accent
like
this.
Yeah, he's doing it like that, yeah.
I want some Crusher.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So there's also another thing that I found linked off of Rather Good's website, which still exists. It still links to merch. And you can get a little stuffed Bloed, and it links to him on eBay. But he is listed as Cuddly Boris Johnson Bojo plushy soft toy.
That is both perfect and absolutely abhorrent.
Which I guess explains the hair. So that would that happen before? How is this related? Like, was this a toy before the animation?
Well, according to the seller information, it's Joel Veitch selling it himself as a cuddly Boris Johnson. So maybe he just has a crate of these that he's desperate to shift. But, okay, so, like, for those of you who don't know, and I really hope that's all of you, because it's just...
Yeah, I mean, I had to look it up, obviously.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But Boris Johnson is a a many times disgraced UK politician, former columnist.
And that's putting it politely.
Conservative, blowhard, dickweed, okay, prat.
Okay, that's more like it.
Yeah. Whose hair makes Donald Trump look positively sane.
So this toy is what Blowed and Food and Tales of the Blowed look like.
Yes.
He's very clearly drawn this toy.
Yeah.
So what's up with that? There's enough information on the internet to connect these things anymore.
So do you think the toy... No, I don't think the toy came first, because if you scroll down, you can buy, like, a ninja kitten. You can buy the Spong Monkey creatures.
Yeah.
So,
and they're
yeah.
in a pack together.
So
for only $8.99 with free P&P.
He's decided that selling it as something from The Legend of Blowed isn't profitable anymore. But maybe, just maybe, if I rebrand it to this disgraced British politician.
In the bundle, it says, like, Kittens and Blowed bundle.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It says, it calls it the Blowed.
Well, that's for the true fans.
Yeah.
With a U. True fans.
True fans.
Yeah.
Goodness me, what a fascinating rabbit hole. I think we should end this segment by saying that on the eBay listing for the whole bundle, it says, "Yay, Blowed! Blowed is blissfully happy and triumphs against evil on a regular basis, almost completely by accident. Hooray for the Blowed."
I don't know if this is on purpose or an accident, but I like how the eBay description starts like small font and just gets bigger and bigger and bigger as you read on.
It finishes by saying, "This little chap is a big shock of blonde hair and mahoosive smile on legs. Or feet, really. He's a simple fellow and excellent company. He's about 15 centimeters tall." Which I hope is also a line on your Tinder profile.
I was about to say that, yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
15 centimeters is also, like, a lot bigger than I imagine it being. Like,
that's 6 inches.
Yeah.
I imagined it being, like the size of, like, I have, like, I have a blue snowball microphone, and I expected it being, like, the size of the head of my microphone. Like, very, like, you can squish it in your hands, and it's not, right? Like, it's bigger.
Oh, I kind of want one now. Oh, I can't believe we've gone this far without saying that Blowed looks almost exactly like Kirby.
It does.
No.
It's Kirby with hair.
It's
Kirby with hair.
That's not Kirby.
And without
not
arms.
My Kirby. If Kirby ate Boris Johnson, that's what would
no!
happen.
But also it would be a mercy to us all.
Yes.
If Kirby ate Boris Johnson. This is our most political episode.
It really is.
It is. It's weird. I didn't anticipate this.
It's strange that, like, the synapses that this shit triggers.
Yeah, so that's my fever dream.
I can see why you would think that it was that you made it up. For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does feel a bit dreamlike. It feels like something that your brain might come up with to keep you entertained while you were, like, stuck in a lift for an hour and a half.
Well, I mean, will we ever know the answer, the mystery behind Tales of the Blowed? I don't think so. I think it's too early.
Yeah, but
you know, it's not, no one's ever going to ask him about it.
But I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with that too. Yeah.
Oh, I also have one comment.
It's not really
a comment.
All right.
Okay.
There's no comments on any of the videos except for, like, yay. But I found a tweet while searching, which was very recently in March 20 of last year, 2017. Joel Veitch tweeted at Rather Good, "I finally put Tales of the Blowed episode 1 on YouTube." Only, like, 3 of the episodes are on YouTube, or on the Rather Good YouTube, so he only made it through 3 and didn't upload the rest of them. And there's just 10 likes and 3 replies, and one of the replies is, "Back when the internet was good."
Wow.
I think I kind of agree with that sentiment, to be honest.
I think that's a nice capstone to put on this,
because... Yeah.
We've been on some journeys.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
No, thank you so much. Like, this has been a wonderful part nostalgic, part just bizarre exploration of your Flash world. So thank you very much.
Yeah, it's fun. Thank you for reading all of that additional symbolism into this story so I can, like, understand and conceptualize it and, like, not leave it as, like, this abstract
memory.
It
would basically be his job if he made any money for it.
Yeah, Flash in the Pan Patreon coming 2023.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, Divac, where can people find you on the internet? What are you doing? Tell us about you.
Okay, well, on Twitter, I'm at DeviousVacuum, and then my bio links to all the other stuff that I do. So I'm on a podcast called Visual Novel Book Club with Slow Beef and pals. And I am a guest on the podcast 6 Feet Under, which is an actual play podcast. And I am part of the Mouse Guard campaign, where I play a mouse named Zeke. I also am the co-host of Date Night, which is a stream every Tuesday at 8 Eastern, or sorry, 8 or 9 Eastern, depending on on what time it is. But anyway, let's say 9 Eastern, actually, just to be safe, on twitch.tv/chorpsaway. It's Chorpsaway stream, and we play visual novels live and react to them because yes. We're both huge romantic disasters.
No, IRL. You do. I've seen a few episodes of that, and like folks, if you're not aware, you should go and watch Date Night. It is just, it's delightful.
Yeah, Chops is good people.
And sometimes like really unsettling.
We do a lot of like if it appeals to you to like play a romance game, like read a romance story and like dissect it as you go along, like if that's the kind of therapy that you need right now, like this is the place to go.
It's the perfect place to drown your sorrows, definitely. Yeah.
And hear us tell embarrassing stories about dates that we've been on.
Yeah, that's half the fun.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that now know I had a first date at a Chipotle in college and they've decided to use that against me.
Well, now there are even more people who know that.
I know.
Cool. So, Alex, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Dex01. I have a Let's Plays channel at youtube.com/VNDLP. I have a bunch of my own music at alexvalentine.bandcamp.com.
Okay, and you can find me, as always, on Twitter at Gertrude Perkins, that's PRKNS. You can find my blog with assorted writings at mediagluttony.wordpress.com. And the show. The show has stuff.
Yes, the show has stuff.
Yeah, we have a Twitter at @FlashITPancast. That's at @FlashItPancast. You can write emails into the show. We don't have time to read any today, but we do get them and we do love reading them. And perhaps you'll be read out on a future episode if you send something into flashinthepancast@gmail.com. And as we said at the top of the show, you can find the website at flashinthepancast.com. So yeah, thank you very much. Until next time, I've been Tom.
I've been Alex.
I've been D-Back.
And until next time, remember that I was no one to everyone.
Ouch.
Oh, that's good.
Slam this piece of crap.